Lee Blackwell speaking with Peter Shanks. Peter, you're based in the Lithgow, just west of the Blue Mountains, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm based in Dunedin. We're talking on Gizmo. And Peter, you posted to the Teach and Learn Online email list just recently your work in extracting the data out of the National Training Information Service in Australia, which is the information site that provides all of the units of competency for training in Australia. Basically, they're mini statements of learning, intended learning outcomes, and the information needed to build them into qualifications of sorts. So you're extracting the data out of that website, including out of RTF documents and stuff, and you're reformatting it, or you're presenting it in a blog, and managing to reformat that data into various formats, such as what was it, into one of the wikis. Can you tell us about the process? That's basically my grasp on it, and from that alone, I get a lot of ideas. Perhaps you could give us more detail.
Okay, here's the history of it. Late last year, they released a training package for IT, which is the subject I teach in at TAFE here in Australia. But you could only get it as a PDF document, and we had to produce some training materials from it and adhere to it so that we could retain our qualification as a registered training organisation. So I wrote an application that took that PDF document, formatted as HTML, and then scraped it and put it in a database and presented it online. A few people saw that and asked me if it would be possible to do it with other training packages that MTIS had. And I tried with a couple, but no two of them were formatted the same way. And I pretty much gave up on the idea until I heard from another reader of Montello that who'd come across the posting, the original one for the IT package, that MTIS had a hidden section on this site where you could download access databases for each training package. Anyhow, I got in contact with MTIS and found the right person, learnt the secret handshake, and downloaded all of the access databases that they had. These are updated every 6 months from, presumably, they've got a real database somewhere.
Mm.
Unfortunately, all the fields in these databases have rich text formatting, riddled right through them, which makes them very difficult to read and very difficult to use. So that's basically what this application does. It takes all of those access databases, exports them, cleans up the rich text formatting, and then puts them into this database online.
Right. So, but when you say
pu.bluemountains.net.
Oh yeah, yep. We'll get the link on the audio for this. When you say rich text formatting, I'm imagining the RTF that I choose when I'm using a word processor as a format. Is it different to that?
No, it's exactly the same as that, except, of course, it's a Microsoft version of rich text formatting, so it's got some non-standard fields in it.
How frustrating.
As a standard, it's obviously been developed by people in the print media rather than the IT industry, because it's difficult to parse.
Mm. So what do you think the scope of that is? The ability now to you to pull out all of that data, and so far you've presented it in a blog. What else can be used for that?
It's not really presented in a blog. It's just a PHP web application, I suppose you'd call it.
Right.
And what I've been using it for so far is fairly basic, just getting the documents in an HTML format that I can cut and paste into other training documents, producing what's called the TiddlyWiki, which is a small one-page standalone wiki that individuals can carry around on their USB drives or on their hard drive and edit.
Mm.
I've created some Moodle skeletons, which basically just lay out all of the performance criteria and learning outcomes in a logical manner, and make placeholders for people to add content to and build a course around. And on your suggestion, output in that Wikimedia format so that it can be cut and paste into Wikibooks or Wiki University pages.
So how about how are you going about that? Because, you know, Wikimedia text is fairly unique. Well, most of the wiki varieties are unique in their own rights. To make, for example, a heading that will be indexed as a table of contents, you have to put an equal sign either side of the words that you're using in the heading. So how are you going to actually, or have you already been able to take a heading, say, for the data from the National Training Information Service and put two equal signs, or one equal sign, or three equal signs either side, depending on the hierarchy of that title? Are you able to do that, go as far as that?
Well, fortunately, the database is split up at the moment so that each heading, I suppose, is a separate field in it. So every time write a field, I just add the heading tags around the name of that particular field.
Very nice.
Put it. There's a few internal bits and pieces that just need to be, you know, translated from italic tags into, you know, single quotes or pairs of single quotes, that sort of thing. But on the whole, it hasn't been a terribly difficult exercise.
And so basically, that for a teacher who wanted to, say, for example, start building a page in a Wikimedia like Wikiversity or Wikipedia or whatever they're using, even their own install, they would just go to your site where all of the competencies or most of the competencies are listed. They drill down until they find the statement of the competencies, and then what would be available to them then would be a link to the format that they want, such as Wikimedia text, and they could click that and it would present the text for them to copy paste.
Spot on, yeah. Or you can use, there's a search engine as well. It's got a full text search engine on the
site.
Sweet. You can enter, say, you know, JavaScript or bread making or whatever it is that you're interested in, and see what turns up.
That's a remarkable extension from the NTIS. I mean, it's great that the National Training Information Service is, you know, publicly available and that you can look into it and all that, but like you said, I'm surprised to hear it was RTF formats for their stuff. I would have expected Word docs to be the worst, or PDFs, in which is quite difficult. You know, it's obviously built for print type stuff, isn't it? It's quite difficult to work with on web-based stuff.
It has been a challenge, and I think it's been a challenge for Intus as well, so, you know, hats off to them for going that extra, you know, mile.
Absolutely.
Mind you, it must make their jobs much easier having everything in the database.
Yes. Now, what are the risks to your work if they chose to move to a different database system? I mean, I don't know if the likelihood of them moving off Access databases into some other database, but if they went into some other database, does that basically null and void your work, or does it make it easier, perhaps, if they were to go into another database, easier for you to achieve?
No, only part of it. It would definitely make it easier to achieve. I think it could only improve if they move to another database. Access is somewhat limited. And having each training package in a separate Access database meant for quite a manual process of going through them one at a time, extracting the tables and putting them into little directories so they didn't overwrite each other.
And so now that you've extracted the data out of that Access database, it reversed the processing back into another database that they were to choose, or you were to perhaps proof of concept set up for them, would that be a quick flow as well?
It would be much easier, yes. I've put it into a MySQL database, and eventually I'll probably put that up on SourceForge for people to download.
Great.
I don't know at the moment whether I'll split it back up into training packages or leave it as one big, messy lump, but I've still got to do a bit of work on it before it becomes, what I would call even a beta release.
So that's what you're waiting for, and you plan to put your work up on the SourceForge so that other developers could perhaps look at it and work the same model.
Yeah, I did that with the ICA05 training package, the first one I did, and it's had quite a few downloads, but I haven't got a lot of feedback from people who have downloaded it as to what they're using it for, or how they found it, or whether they want improvements even. So I'm not sure whether I shouldn't be looking at some other way of getting a bit more of a community feel or some feedback loop going.
maybe EduForge. I don't know how successful they are compared to SourceForge, but obviously it's being more specific to educational applications. But, I mean, your work there, I mean, there's lots of other data that's in Access databases that need to be extracted out.
Unfortunately, yes.
And we've had a bit of interest. I just got off the phone.
Bill, it's a step up from spreadsheets.
Oh, yeah, step up from spreadsheets. I just got off the phone with Brent from the EXE project, EXE. He's in the Talo list. He sometimes posts to it, sometimes reads. But he works in EXE project up in Auckland in New Zealand. Now, in New Zealand, they're similar to Australia in that they have what they call unit standards, which are basically units of competency, which Australia work on. And it is nationally based, although the uptake of it, from my perspective, isn't as big as the uptake in Australia. So they have databases. Unfortunately, when you drill down, say you find your unit of competency that you're interested in, or the course in which you're working in, you drill down, you click through, and then eventually you're hit with a PDF or a Word document, not an RTF, as far as I've found anyway. So it's a PDF or a Word document. Now, do you see any... I mean, basically, you need to know if they're using an Access database or what database they're using before you could probably say whether it would be possible to pull that data out the same way you're talking. Is that right?
If they're end product is a PDF or a Word document, then the database is only really going to give you the structure, how they've set up the structure of the of their training packages. To get the data itself into a database is going to require scraping the document somehow.
Yeah. What does scraping mean?
You've got a very strict template. Oh, where you look through the document, you look for certain points in it where it might say key competencies.
Yep.
or skills. And if they've got heading tags around them, you can say, okay, here's another field or here's another chunk of data that should be put into a field.
Yep.
But unless everyone that makes these documents uses the same template and doesn't mess around with it, that can be quite a time-consuming and fairly manual process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From what I've seen, it does follow a template, so that might be made easy. I mean, from my perspective, the work I'm doing at Otago Polytechnic is I'm trying to encourage teachers to develop their learning resources in a Wikimedia, such as the Wikiversity. Now, the vision might be that we install our own wiki into our own organisation and then use that in the benefits of collaboratively writing and even having students adjusting their resources to be more readable for their own needs and all of that sort of stuff. There's all this, well talked about possibilities with the use of wikis, but the first step of until we have a wiki install and whether or not we actually start using our own install, which I don't think would be a good idea, if we were to start using Wikiversity, just the ability to be able to start as a basis the statement of the unit standards or the units of competency, to be able to then pull those units out as Wikitext and paste them in, and then that gives you a kind of a structure in which you then put in all your resources, and then from that you know exactly that your stuff is relevant to the unit standards, and then it's up to your creativity to
sure,
go from there.
Sure.
I mean, that is a massive help for a number of teachers that we work with who are just intimidated by the idea of wiki, the word wiki they've never heard of, and then to be able to have to edit in wiki text, which is not that hard, but it's still enough to freak anyone out when you're looking at it. I mean, what's your view on that? So you've chosen TiddlyWiki. Why didn't you go... I mean, you have eventually on a suggestion, but what's your perspective on Wikimedia text compared to the others?
I'm pretty enthusiastic, actually, about Wikimedia because it could be used as a starting point in the classroom even, and just, I think, have some pretty good discussions and some good activities built around the fact that you've only got performance criteria there. Well, what does it mean? You know, what have we got to explore? How can we flesh it out and have it as a class-based activity that you write the materials and draw up few exercises and perhaps even go as far as having the classes develop the assessments at the end of the day.
That's a nice suggestion.
a lot of them that I've looked at, now these things in Australia at least are built by committees, and you know, they're supposed to have industry representatives. Now, generally I think the only industries that can send representatives are pretty big ones, you know, so they've got to be able to afford to pay for someone to take off work and go and swan around for 6 months or a year or however long it takes. And I don't know, my gut feeling is a lot of these people are expendable staff members, perhaps. Maybe that's not being very charitable, but having read some of the performance criteria, they're so nebulous. So, you know, I've worked in the industry in a lot of these subjects, and I can't see where the performance criteria and the stuff that I was working at for 10 years ever came together. So you may as well, you know, thrash it out in the class as an individual, is how I feel. And that's what would be a really good next step.
I mean, I can see multiple bureaucratic symptoms involved in why that's why those statements may just become repetitive or just nonsensical. I mean, what do you would you draw the line at all if public access was allowed to those and public input could be, you know, I mean, the wiki doesn't have to be the finished product. It can simply be looked at as a process, and where the finished product of the statements or whatever is made is up to whoever's in control, I suppose. But I mean, it's starting with the classroom, but you know, like you said, smaller industry or smaller businesses who have an interest in it may have a spare 5 minutes, spare half an hour or 2 hours. They could come in there and make their contribution as well, whether they would or not, I don't know.
Absolutely. And you know, if I had the money, I wouldn't be paying to build these. I'd be paying to, you know, set up some sort of infrastructure and to market and advertise it to smaller industry players so that they could come along and say what they thought was important in their industry, where they thought things were going wrong with the trainings that they had, and perhaps get some sort of real world performance criteria growing.
I mean, you said if you had the money, but it's really not. I mean, money is eventually an issue, but you've gone and done it. You've made the proof of concept, and now it's just a matter of, you know, why don't we just start pulling out some units and putting them into wikis, Wikiversity for a start, and seeing what models or what scenarios we can get out of that.
Oh yeah, no, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, because like I say, Entis have provided all of the data. I just saw it sitting there in attempting.
Did they have any balks at copyright?
The thing is, if you wanted to go that one step further backwards, you'd need to change some policies about, you know, who gets to make up what the performance criteria are. And that's a political decision as much as a pedagogical one.
Yep. Sorry to cut you. It's just a lag there. I was interrupting there. That's that line there. But did you get any concerns from NTIS, National Training Information Service in Australia, that is, about copyright and the reusability of their information and data?
No, I've got the copyright from them. Hang on, I'll call it up on the screen here. They were actually quite supportive. It was just finding the right person that took the time there. You know, like any organisation, I suppose.
It's just a matter of seeing the benefits. I remember West One having something to do with the public access to the access databases or something like that. I think it was them anyway.
Yeah, I'll just pull it up here to view.bluemountains.net. I'm going to plug it.
Yeah.
And there's a link there that says credits and copyright. And like I say, it's a slower site than my old one.
Not to mention we're on Gizmo at the same time.
Okay. Copyright states may be reproduced in whole or in part for studying or training purposes, subject to the inclusion of an acknowledgement of the source and that it is not used for commercial use or sale.
No worries.
So it's a restricted copyright.
Okay, well that non-commercial use may have implications to the use in Wikiversity, because they use the GNU license, which doesn't state, as far as I know, non-commercial use only. So that there might be a little bit of a concern.
No, it doesn't.
Hopefully it's negotiable.
I don't know. I wonder sometimes if the regular TAFEs and secondary education institutes aren't working for profit either. They're only charging.
Exactly. Yep. And I'd hope the educational use outweighs the other one we just talked about. Have you worked at all with Michael Nelson on this? Michael Nelson, was by far the first teacher I knew of using Wikimedia for his class course, class resources and stuff, and using Wikiversity at that. Any discussions with him about the way he might use it? Because he's gone full on with Wikiversity, and that he's got a lot of stuff in there. As opposed to you being contentless.
I use one of his wiki books in some of my courses. The first project, the ICAO5 project, was brought to Michael's attention. He asked me to produce an XML feed from it so that he could use it for his own nefarious ends. And I think he's been busy pretty much most of this semester, but now that things are winding down here, he's sent an email saying he's going to start working on how to convert that XML feed into various formats.
Mm.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with it there.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if Wikimedia puts out an RSS of any type for updates? I haven't tried that out myself.
I would be surprised if they didn't, but I don't use one myself.
Yeah, okay, we'll have to find that out. Yes. Just a bit more on the Moodle work you're doing there, because there's Moodle's used pretty big time in northern New Zealand, and the XE guys are interested in that aspect of it. What sort of work are you doing with this work combined with Moodle?
I run a Moodle site of my own classes, so I was fairly interested in getting modules up. There's a lot of when you're setting up a course, a lot of clicking and fiddling around and putting stuff in place. That's the generator from trying to packages unwrapped avoids, which makes me pretty happy, and it keeps me on track too, because it lists all of the criteria in order and performance criteria underneath. So it gives me something to address when I'm building a course. What do I like about Moodle? Pretty much, I like to be able to keep track of where the class is up to. I know you're not a particular fan of course management systems. Look, I'm not very interested in whether it excludes or includes people, but from a teacher's point of view, I can see fairly easily who's been working at the module and who hasn't.
Mm.
And if they're doing the quizzes that I put in there, I can see pretty easily when they've missed key points, and I can get around to them individually and say, look, here's, there's sort of obviously a gap in your knowledge here. I need to look through this area or that area. It's also it's good for me as a teacher in that people can refer to it back to it at home, of course, and on the campus, and download their assignments. I get some feedback as to when assignments come in, and mark them and give them feedback online. Now, you can do all that sort of stuff with free and open source or, WebSphere applications that are out there, but for one thing, it becomes too loosely joined for some people. You've got to go here for the block, you've got to go over there for the wiki, you've got to go to third place for your forums and things. And I worry a bit sometimes about how I can back up the data and how I can keep control of it if some company goes out of business or gets bought out by Google or something.
Mm-hmm.
So in a classroom situation, the Moodle, I think, has probably got my vote. But I've looked at some of the stuff that Michael's doing on Wikibooks, and I can definitely see, there's a big opportunity there for, building a textbook inside the class that we can use year after year.
I mean, one of the ideas here with one of the vet nurses here was they've started with a textbook which they have to update, and the advice was perhaps to put it into a wiki book and then to build into that exercises and maybe even assessments if needed, where the students would edit the textbook to their level, or add things that are missing, or subtract things that are not necessary and stuff like that. But the main thing being, at the end of the year, they would then use Lulu.com or something like that to print out that textbook so that they can take it with them. I mean, they'll always have access to the wiki, but as we know, you know, there's only so much text you can read from a screen before you'd rather be reading from a page. And it's just that kind of tangible, rewarding textbook that you can put on the shelf as a professional and stuff like that. But it's a constantly updating thing, so every year they'll update that. You know, it doesn't cost anything to upload the new version to Lulu and have that downloadable and print-on-demand service. The only barrier that we've had, because we also, or some of the staff here choose to use a learning management system, and in this case they use Blackboard. The only barrier that we've had with the use of Wikiversity is trying to get the Wikiversity to load inside the Blackboard interface. I'm not sure if you've experienced this with Moodle, trying to load Wikiversity into the learning management system. It seems to break in a loop in that it always wants to pop it out to a new window. And once it's done that, or not a new window actually, it just sort of, you as though it's you're loading it into the course, and then the Wikiversity seems to take over the whole screen, or the whole browser, and you lose that Blackboard navigation, and then when you try to navigate back to the Blackboard, it just loops back to the Wikiversity, so there's something triggering in there. Have you experienced anything similar like that in Moodle?
I haven't, but I can imagine what's going on. The Wikiversity's probably got code in the JavaScript for breaking out of frame sets.
Yes, okay.
I haven't used Web2 personally. There's another thing that I like about Moodle is that I have the source code, and when it does things that I don't like or aren't expected, I can look at the source code, and if I feel particularly affronted by it, I can change it all. So
You have that capacity.
But I've had to do that yet.
Okay.
I have cut and pasted bits of the source code out. In fact, some of the functionality on the training packages unpacked is code that I've looked at in Moodle and thought, oh, that was a good idea. I'll try that.
Well, of course.
Now, capturing Wikiversity inside a frame set could be a bit of a trick, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
I can't think of an immediate workaround. If they've got something that breaks frame sets, then
we have to make do with the send it to a new window. But we're starting to go down that line of what you said about
open another browser window.
Yeah, but we're starting to get towards that. Pieces too loosely joined. We're going out to now the wiki books. And losing that sense of oneness that I guess a learning management system could offer people who are not very experienced with using the internet. But I think it's a small payoff compared to the potential of working in a wiki.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Once you work in a wiki, it's not just you or you in the class. It's anyone.
Yeah.
Subject is going to put in their 20 cents worth.
What do you have a standard line that you can say to staff that you work with who seem to balk at the idea of people being able to edit their texts and stuff?
Funny that it's easier to undo than it is to do. That's the beauty of the wiki is you can roll it back to any state you feel like. So.
The usual reaction to that I get is that then people feel like they then have to keep an eye on their wiki, which of course we know is essential, but when people feel like they don't want to be doing the internet anyway, and then here's another thing that I've got to keep on top of with their email and stuff, their reaction is to be quite negative to the idea of having to keep an eye on that. They seem to focus on the possibility that it can be edited, and then their default thinking is that it will be edited by vandals or people who don't have positive things to contribute, and so that risk outweighs the benefits, believe it or not.
Well, there's two things here. One, if it's a resource that it's valuable, you're going to be using it all the time anyway.
Absolutely.
At least once every time you teach the course, you'll be there, And hopefully you'll have a quick look through it before you walk into the classroom, just to refresh your memory. The other is that you can set them up so that you get email notification when people, make changes. If you own the page, you can get an email, and it's just a simple, matter of scanning through those emails and seeing if they make any sense or if they, might need to go and do some remedial work.
Yeah.
I think the benefits outweigh the disadvantages.
Yeah, I think that
a long shot.
that's very clear to the people who are experienced with it. Well, Peter, I'm very excited about the project. I mean, where to from now? What's your thinking with development? What sort of opportunities do you hope come from it? Where do you want to take it?
There's two things that I really want to do next. I'm not too sure which one I want to do first. The training packages themselves have qualifications laid out in them where they say how many core units have to be studied for a qualification, what streams people can take and what electives that they can they're restricted to subsets of electives, if I want to take certain streams. So I'd like to put those in there as well. Unfortunately, there's no database there. It's all a matter of cutting and pasting. I could probably write routines that make links to the units, but that's about it. So that's a fairly, large and repetitive and not very interesting task. The other is I'd like to set up an interface so that people can put in a simple question and answer or multiple choice questions for each of the performance criteria and build up a database of multi-choice sorts of things there. And after that, I'd really like to make a training package role-playing game, but that's just far in the future.
And then you might plug into Michael's old student's work, Edward Smith, I think he's known. He did Silence of the Terminals. I mean, I don't know if that's an extendable project or not for you. He was using the Unreal
that's
Tournament.
That's the sort of path we'll be going down.
Yeah, nice. How do you see that first point you made seemed to be about drawing more on the contextualisation of the Australian standards, Australian competency standards? How many units do you have to cross before you can get a certificate in this Australian training standard? So that obviously has some implications for the reusability on an international scale. I like the way Michael Nelson's used in Wikiversity in that he lays out the content, aligning to the standards wherever possible, but when it comes down to actually the whole qualification, he puts that as a subtext at the bottom of the page, that the content here relates to the Australian standard in this way, and you click it and then you can see how it all maps to the Australian standard, and the invite is implicit that internationals can come in and put their standard down there and align the content to their standard as well. Now, I'm not sure how, but if that could somehow be made an automated process in some way where Australia and New Zealand could map their standards through content in a similar way, would be an interesting interesting challenge.
It certainly would. The thing is that, that's the framework I work in. I'm an Australian trainer. I'm the blinkers, just look at Australian things. I don't know how easy it would be to extend this particular project to other countries in the world, but if it gave people ideas about where they could take their own data, then I'm for it. And like I said, well, I don't know if it was on the record or off, but we've got all of the ICA05 stuff on SourceForge, so and people are downloading it from all around the world. So. Oh, goodness knows what they're using it for. Hopefully it's looking at how they can incorporate their own data into that sort of structure. And that's where it'll be.
Well, it's a remarkably inspiring initiative from my end. I'm constantly grappling with the, if we were to do something like this in New Zealand, how to keep the New Zealand-specific context in the background so that it's more focused on the actual content or the skills and the information supporting those skills, and then the statements of the standards and who does what and how many times you have to do it is kind of underlaying it, so that if you wanted to get a New Zealand qualification through what you've just read, you could click that as an opportunity, or if you wanted to get an Australian or even a US or whoever else is using competency standards in their training, you could choose which way you wanted to go, not as a first level, but as the last thing you do after looking through the content.
Sure. Well, Lou, you and I, we like learning things because we like learning things, but there are plenty of folks out there who need a certificate or a goal to work towards, and plenty of people that just need it so that they can get on with their work.
So a two-way thing.
For both attitudes, yeah.
Yeah, two-way street with the content. you can come at it from a certificate-driven level, or you can come at it from just the info-driven level, I suppose. Yeah, that should be possible.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, Peter, it's been great talking to you. I'm now biting my teeth whether or not that Gizmo record worked. The record button still says it's going. So I've got to find out.
It told me it was recording when we started.
Yeah. So I'll press stop on that and see. I'll be gutted if it didn't go.
Yeah, we've rapped it on enough.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks a lot.